Ladies and gentlemen, in your lifetime and in my lifetime, we have gone all the way in the culture from Madonna singing Papa Don't Preach into the churches, and the churches are saying preachers don't preach. The time will come when they will have itching ears, and they will turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, myths. But Paul gives a word concerning apostasy, and with a note of urgency, he says to the young preacher, preach the word. That's what God wants the preacher to do in this day.
Then to be here at the church is just a real blessing. A little over a year ago, when it was extremely cold, if you remember that, had the big snow. Long about that time, I was driving up the road one day in that extreme cold weather. And the Lord gave me a message. And I preached it one time, and then it just kindly drifted away. It came back then, and I've preached it several times. And I just feel like if the Lord would have us to use it again tonight, and I'd ask you to pray for us. The Lord gave me a message on Calvary. And I want us to look at Calvary, Father and Father tonight. Now, in the book of Luke, in chapter 23 and in verse 33, when you found your place, why, you might want to stand with us while we read. And I want to say again, it's so good to be here. Appreciate this real good crowd. Amen. Brother Weaver and other preachers has come to be with us, and all the folks here at the church. It's just so good to be here. In Luke 23 and verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Thank you kindly, and you can be seated. Now, number one tonight, I find that Calvary is a place of sacrifice.
Amen.
Yeah. I call your attention tonight to about four things that Christ sacrificed at Calvary.
Bless the Lord.
Now I want us to keep this in mind as we go along in the message. Everything that he sacrificed, when he would sacrifice it, and then should he look back, he'd look back with no regrets whatsoever.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I have done some things and then kind of regretted it after I did it, but not Christ.
Amen, brother. Right.
Not Christ. He never sacrificed one thing and ever regretted it in any measure.
Right.
Did it willingly. And not only willingly, but joyfully,
amen,
with no regrets.
Amen.
I'd like for us to keep that in mind.
Amen.
No regrets. Calvary with no regrets. No regrets. Amen. I appreciate that. Appreciate my Lord when they're singing that song. Oh, what a saint.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for another.
Oh, that's right.
No.
Amen.
I'm just not looking for another.
Amen.
I can say along with Paul, I just want to know him more. Just want to know him better. But I'm not looking for
another. Amen.
Now, number one, we find the Lord Jesus at Calvary sacrificed his home.
Yeah, he did.
Amen. Now, there's no way that you could go into detail and explain the splendor of his home. But I just want to say, he had a home.
Yeah, brother.
He had a home.
Yeah.
But I find that he left home with Calvary in view.
Yeah, brother. Amen.
I gave you three steps that he took from home to Calvary. They were all downward steps.
Yeah.
He stepped down.
Yeah.
Down.
Yeah.
Number one, he stepped down from riches into poverty.
Amen.
Yeah,
he
did.
He was rich. But for our sake, he became poor that we through his poverty
Amen.
He said the foxes have their holes. Fowls out there have their nesting. But the Son of Man, no place.
Amen.
To lay his head.
Amen. Praise God.
Step down from riches into poverty.
Hallelujah.
I would say I've never been as poor as my Lord was.
Bless you, God.
You've never been as poor as your Lord was. Step down! Step down from riches into poverty. Down in the very depths of poverty.
Amen.
And no one ever stepped so low in poverty as a Savior.
Amen.
Then not only but we find that he stepped down from freedom, liberty, and the slavery and bondage. He said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but I came to minister unto others.
Amen.
He's pictured as a bond slave.
Yes, he is.
Pictured as a servant. Yes. Did the work of a slave. Did the work of a servant.
Amen, yeah.
With no pay.
Yeah, that's right.
No pay. Did it freely. Put no charges on, sir.
Amen. Praise God.
Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Didn't come to be ministered unto. He wasn't expecting that. Demanded no man to minister unto him, but ministered unto others.
Amen.
And then we find that he stepped down from comfort. From comfort into suffering.
Yeah.
There's three downward steps that he took from home on his way to Calvary. And then I call your attention to three obstacles between home and Calvary. Now I wouldn't want to be misunderstood, and I'm not trying to take anything from the prophecy of the scripture. I just want to say that justly, the Lord Jesus was not obligated to go to Calvary. He went, I say, he went without a just obligation.
Amen.
Yeah.
What was it about man that would demand him to go?
That's right.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing about man. Nothing about man that can place any demand whatsoever on Christ to go to Calvary.
Amen.
He went, I say, he went without an obligation.
Amen. Amen.
Glory.
No obligation whatsoever.
No, sir.
I tell you, that's precious, isn't it?
Yeah.
That he'd go to Calvary without an obligation. And then God was pleased for him to go. I will tell you something. God was pleased with him a long time before he went. And he spake on different occasions, and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well. I'm well pleased. God did not demand him to go to Calvary, no, but he went without an obligation and had no regrets.
That's right. Woo, that's rich.
Not only so, but we find obstacle number two. He goes all alone. He's the only one there. He's the only one there. While Christ is going to Calvary, we are going astray. Are we like sheep? Have gone astray.
Amen.
And the Lord laid on him
Amen.
The iniquity of us all.
Yeah.
God's turned his back upon him. The heavens are dark And he's there all by himself. All by himself, all alone. On Calvary. Obstacle number three. You might not want me to tell you this one. But facts, dear love, are facts. Facts are just facts. I want to say obstacle number three. The purchase. The purchase wasn't worth the price.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Amen.
The purchase of the love was not worth the price he paid.
Amen.
I want to say tonight, Christ didn't get a bargain, Calvary.
Boy, that's right.
But you know something? He wasn't looking for a bargain.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
He wasn't looking for a bargain. He is looking for an old hell-deserving sinner that he might reach away down and rescue from the passions of hell. Amen, beloved. The Lord Jesus wasn't looking. I said he wasn't looking for a bargain. He's looking for you and you and you and you that he might reach away down, away, away down and redeem you.
Hallelujah.
That's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Looking for a wreck.
That's right.
Praise God.
Woo.
You know John Newton. He said, I was so wicked, so low, so foul, till nobody would come close to me. And nobody would carry on conversation with me. But on Calvary, Christ was looking for John.
Amen.
Died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
That's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Well, and then we found not only did he sacrifice his home, but I want you to know he sacrificed on Calvary. He sacrificed his birthright.
There you go.
Now let's look at a birthright for a moment. Call your attention to three things it speaks of. Number one, it speaks of a real close favor with the Father.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen. I mean, real close favor with the Father. That's what a birthright speaks of.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that favor was so close with the Father until the Father said, Son, I'm just going to turn everything over into your hands.
Yeah.
Commit all things in you.
Amen.
It pleased God that in him all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell bodily. Not only so, but that birthright speaks of the blessings of heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
All the blessings of heaven and earth upon the one that has the birthright. And then it speaks of power and dominion over all things.
Yeah.
I want to say, you don't see that on Calvary. On Calvary, he's sacrificing his birthright. You don't see that close favor with the Father, and the Father's turned his back. The heavens are dark, or is that alone?
Yes, brother.
Yeah.
Yes, brother. Yes.
No close favor there.
No, sir.
You don't see the blessings of heaven and earth on Christ on Calvary.
Amen.
Not one blessing do you see on Christ on Calvary.
Amen.
You see a crown of thorns, his beard plucked from his face. You see spikes in his hands and in his feet. He's bleeding. He's dying. No blessings at all.
Oh, that's right.
Amen.
Amen, brother. That's right. Praise.
He's exercising no power, no dominion over anybody or anything. Not on Calvary.
Woo, Lord, have mercy.
He's not raising the dead on Calvary. He's not feeding the multitudes on Calvary. He's not calming the sea on Calvary. He's sacrificing. his birthday.
Amen.
That's right, preacher.
Yeah.
And looks back. No regret. Bless his name. I say, bless his name!
Amen.
Then not only will we find he's sacrificing his very image.
Yeah.
You see, Colossians said he's the image of the invisible God. When you see him, you see God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. I preached unto the Gentiles. I believed on in the world, received in the glory. But you don't see that image on Calvary. On Calvary, you don't see the image of God or man. If you would read Isaiah 53 and you read Psalms 22, and you don't see the image of God in Christ. You don't see the image of man in Christ.
Amen. That's right.
He's beaten. I say he's marred, and he's beaten beyond recognition.
Amen.
He don't look like a man even. Don't even imitate a man. Oh, Calvary. He said, I'm a worm, I'm a worm, I'm a worm, and not a man. Sacrifice. Sacrificing his
name.
And then not only so, but he sacrificed his life. Oh, he just gave it all. I mean, he just stripped himself of everything that he was and died on Calvary. I'm going to say, man didn't slip up on him, capture him, overpower him,
amen,
take him to the cross and lay him there.
That's your heart.
Oh, that's not it.
No.
That's not the picture of it. He became obedient unto death.
Amen.
He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
He gave his all. I mean, he just stripped himself all the way down of everything and went to Calvary and sacrificed. Now we've looked at the sacrifice for a moment. Let's look at the purpose of Calvary. It has mainly one purpose, and that's a place to suffer. I want to say that I never have suffered like Christ suffered.
Amen. That's right, preacher.
You never have suffered like Christ suffered.
Amen.
Not that you wouldn't be willing, but he just won't let you. He won't let you suffer like he suffered.
Boy, that's right.
No. Oh, listen tonight, beloved. The Bible said there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common unto man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but also with every temptation make a way of your escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Amen.
He suffered beyond measure on Calvary. I've never suffered like that. I never will suffer like that.
Amen.
Amen. I'll never suffer like that.
Right.
I want you to notice that Christ suffers, first of all, the wrath of man.
Amen.
And keep this in mind. As he suffers the wrath of man, it's unrestrained. Now, you remember over in the book of Isaiah, he said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. That's for us. But you don't see that on Calvary. You don't see God raising no standard against evil on Calvary. But we find the wrath of man has free access to him. And the wrath of man falls on him, falls on him, falls on him with no restraint. No restraint. And then we find not only the wrath of man, but the wrath of sin likewise falls on him. No restraint. He suffers it all.
Amen.
Suffers it all.
Amen.
Oh, you say, preacher, is it overpowering him? No. No, he can handle sin. Sin's no problem with him.
Right.
He can handle it.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can handle it.
Amen.
But he can handle sin.
Yeah.
You see, beloved, I was lost. I was deep in sin. I was lost. I was on my way to hell and I knew it. And I dreaded the thoughts of dying in sin, for I knew I was going to hell. And you, because of my sin, I was under the wrath and I was under the judgment of God, and I knew I was going to hell.
Yeah, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
And I was afraid to go on a journey. I was afraid I'd get killed, and I knew I was going to hell.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I was afraid to go to work. I was afraid of getting killed on the job, and I knew I was going to hell.
Yeah, brother.
I was even afraid to go to sleep at night.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was afraid I'd die during the night.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to hell.
Amen. Yeah.
The Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost came and arrested me and put the handcuffs on me and said, "You're going into judgment."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going into judgment. And you know something? I was on my way to judgment, to be thrust off into hell. But just before we arrived there, just before we got there, this compassionate, lovely Lamb of God spoke to my heart and said, "If you want to, we'll settle this out of court."
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
God.
Yeah.
It was all settled out court.
Yeah.
I never did arrive at that judgment.
Amen.
I never will get to that judgment.
Amen.
That was all taken care of out of court. My Savior did it for me.
Yeah.
And my Lord, I say, my Lord can handle sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
Praise God.
He can do away with sin.
Yeah,
he
can.
When he settled that for me out of court, my fear of going to hell had left.
Amen.
And God be my witness. From that day to this day, I've never feared going to hell.
Amen.
See, I'm just not going to hell.
Yeah.
Give you two or three reasons why I'm not going to hell. Number one, I received the gift.
Amen.
God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son, whosoever, that included me, believeth on Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Amen. I received the gift.
Amen.
And then I'm sealed.
Yeah.
You know the devil. He's been working on that seal for a long time. Oh, he's been working on that seal for a long time. He's wore out a lot of hammers. He's wore out a lot of chisels on that seal. But you can't tell it. He hadn't put a scratch on it.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
right.
Amen.
And not going to hell because I received the gift. Not going to hell because I'm sealed. Not going to hell because I'm not traveling that direction.
Amen.
Not traveling in that direction.
Amen.
The direction we're traveling in, you just can't get there from here.
Amen.
No way! No way you can get tired when you're going in the other direction! No! The farther you go, the farther away from hell you get! Traveling in the opposite direction! Amen! I'm not going to hell. Oh, you can't make it from here. Another reason I'm not going to hell, because of the gift, the seal, not traveling that direction, but I've got no reservations there.
Amen.
No. You see, for the saint of God, hell's just gone out of business.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, brother.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Just not a goal.
Yeah.
Yes, beloved, we find that sin, the wrath of sin and restraint falls on the Son of God.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Then we find the wrath of the devil unrestrained falls on him. Amen. And then not only so, but dear beloved, the wrath of God unrestrained falls on him. Let's look at the picture for just a little bit. Let's look at Christ now. We find that Christ always, always, without fail, while he was alive here on the face of the earth, before he went to Calvary, always resisted sin. He always, always resisted sin. On every occasion, he resisted sin, trampled it underfoot. It never did get to him. He never did sin. He never did commit the first sin. Not one. Not one. Oh, no. Not one sin he ever committed. He always kept it down. Always stayed on top of it. Always stayed away from it. And I want you to notice on Calvary, the picture changes. You see the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus in His wisdom, we find that He tells us what sin is.
Yes.
He labels sin. Calls it by name.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we find that judge, He passes the victim. He passes the verdict, brother, and tells us what to expect because of sin. The soul that sinneth shall die. The wages of sin is death.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
But on Calvary, He becomes the victim.
Yeah.
He who knew no sin became sin.
Amen.
On Calvary.
Good.
Amen. Amen. Now I want you to look on Calvary now. There's no resistance there. He's not resisting sin. Really, with all seriousness, beloved, on Calvary you don't see a battle.
No.
Not really. You don't see a battle on Calvary. For the simple reason, you've got to have resistance to have a battle. There's got to be resistance in order to have a battle. All the forces of sin and man and the devil was upon him, but he's not resisting it. He's as a lamb before the slaughter, as a sheep dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. And now the picture is this. On Calvary, we find the Lord Jesus is pictured as a sponge. A sponge never resists his water. A sponge never drives water away. A sponge always, always absorbs water. Always takes water into itself. And the lovely Lamb of God on Calvary, as a sponge, He reaches back. No resistance. No resistance. No resistance. He just reaches back as a sponge and absorbs every past sin. Pulls it into His body. As a sponge, He just reaches down and gathers every present sin. Every present sin. Doesn't leave one. Just gathers every present sin and absorbs it into His body.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And reaches into the future.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
The sin that I committed today, He reached into the future and got it. And absorbed it into His body. He got every sin. He didn't leave one. He became the victim. He became our substitute.
Amen.
And there with all the past, all the present, all the future absorbed into His own body. He steps willingly into the presence of an angry, sin avenging God. And suffers the entire wrath of God in His own body as our substitute.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. What a Savior.
Amen.
What a Savior.
Yeah.
That He might take our sins away.
Yeah.
Oh, it blesses my soul to know my sins are gone.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good to know your sins are gone.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let me say tonight, we never confess the same sin twice. No, never confess the same sin twice. Now I want to ask you this. How are you going to confess something that don't exist? When you confess that sin and it goes in the blood, it's gone. Listen, beloved, you don't put sin
in the blood and take it out.
Amen.
No, no. When you confess that sin and it enters into the blood, you don't reach in there and pull it out again. It's gone.
Yeah.
Amen.
Good. It no longer exists. You can't find it. There's no need in looking for it. It's just gone. In the olden times, it was good that they had a goat, put him on that goat and see him in the wilderness, but that old goat might find his way back. He might. Knowing a goat.
Yeah.
It is good that they cast him in the sea, our beloved, but that old sea just might get sick and vomit him out.
Right.
It's good that he cast them behind his back, yep. But they just might still exist. But my sins are gone.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
When ye place the sin in the blood, they no longer exist.
Amen.
Amen.
And it don't take from the blood.
Right.
I say it don't contaminate the blood.
Yeah.
It don't lessen the efficiency of the blood.
Yeah.
Still, just as pure, has just as much power tonight as it's ever had and always will have.
Yeah.
Never contaminate the blood.
That's right.
That's right. Yes. Tons of sins have been plunged into the blood down through the years. But you can't tell it. It don't hurt the blood at all. Still pure.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, thank God. Thank God. The best thing you can do with your sins is not try to hide them. The best thing you can do with your sins is not to go on and try to enjoy them. Not even try to endure them. But the best thing you can do with your sins is just confess them. Get them in the blood. And they're just gone. Now this is just a simple way. Don't do it justice. It's just a simple way of explaining that. You go into a room and it's ever so dark you can't see your hand, though close it may be. But you flip a light switch on, where's the darkness gone? It's just gone.
Amen.
That's right.
It's just it don't exist. As long as the light is on, you don't have no darkness.
Amen.
The blood it just does away with us.
Amen.
No need to try to hunt. Be rather stupid to take a flashlight and try to find them. They're gone.
Amen, brother.
I'm glad. You ask me why I'm happy, I'll just tell you why. My sins are gone.
Amen.
Sins are gone.
Praise
done away with it in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. In closing tonight, we want to look at the accomplishment of Calvary. I just want to say this, dear beloved, there'll never be another one. There'll never, never, never be another Calvary.
Amen.
One was sufficient. Never be another.
Amen.
Someone say, preacher, well, the suffering so severe that He'd never do that again. I want to say He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd.
Yeah, he is.
He loves the sheep.
Yeah.
If it was necessary, I say if it was necessary, He'd go back tonight. If it was necessary, God would allow it to happen again tonight.
Yes, sir.
God would allow Him to go back to Calvary and be treated just as cruel and even more so than He was before if it was necessary.
That's right.
But you see, it's just not necessary.
Amen.
Give you three reasons why it's not necessary ever to have another Calvary. Number one, when God looks at Calvary, He's completely satisfied.
Amen.
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 Well, that's good.
Yeah.
God has already thrust all of His wrath on His Son on Calvary as our substitute.
Amen.
Amen.
And therefore, when God views Calvary, He's empty-handed. No wrath at all for Calvary. No, God will never smite Calvary again. He'll never smite His Son on Calvary again. That's right. One time.
Amen.
And that's all. It'll never happen again.
Right.
Never will he smite him again. Oh no. He's completely satisfied, has no wrath for it. And then at Calvary, we find, our beloved, that God in justice and righteousness and holiness, and man, though wicked he may be, they can meet together at Calvary on peaceful terms.
Amen. Is that good?
Amen. Amen. If you need to be saved tonight, you can find that redemption at Calvary.
Amen.
If you need peace in your heart that passeth all understanding, you can find that at Calvary.
Amen.
Yeah.
Calvary is peaceful terms.
Praise God.
Peaceful terms. Amen. Oh, I just want to say tonight, the rulers of the world, if they were sincere in looking for peace, they could find it at Calvary.
Yeah,
find it right at Calvary.
That's right,
oh, and then I want to say in closing, not only is God completely satisfied when he looks at Calvary, not only does God, though holy and just and righteous, pure as he may be and is, and man wicked as he is, at Calvary they can meet together. If man will come to Calvary, God will meet him there in peaceful terms and hold nothing against him.
Oh, that's good.
Therefore, now being justified by faith, we have peace with God through
Amen.
Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Peace
yeah.
with God at Calvary.
Yeah. Amen.
And I find that Calvary, Christ's joy is completely full.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know tonight the most beautiful scene that meets the eye of our Lord when he looks down from glory? It's not Hawaii. It's not the Grand Canyon. It's not Niagara Falls. It's not the Smoky Mountains. It's not the beautiful scenes of the world. It's not creation itself, but it's you.
Yep.
And I, the church, is the most beautiful scene that meets the eye of the Lord.
Praise God.
When he looks down from glory. In you and I, the church, his joy is filled.
Yeah.
Little boy one time, he made himself a little ship. Somewhere along the way, he lost this little ship. It drifted away into the waters. He's going down the street one day, and there he saw his little ship in a window. And he went in there and paid the price, though great it was. Took the little ship and loved it up to himself as he went down the street and said, "You're twice mine.
Yeah.
I made you, and I bought you."
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Christ's joy. His joy just feed to the overflow.
Yeah.
Because of Calvary.
Yeah.
When he sees you, the church, that feels his joy.
Amen.
To the overflow. Amen. Shall we stand? Brother James, come here, sir. Come right here.